Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Tonight's video is about a scout leader on an Appalachian trail in the Blue Ridge Mountains. While they were on their backpacking expedition, they encounter something so terrifying that he now refuses to ever go backpacking alone again. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. This is why I never hike alone. I've hiked a lot of different trails all over the U.S., but some of my favorite backpacking trips have been while hiking sections of the Appalachian Trail, mostly in and around the Blue Ridge Mountains. I have lots of other friends that enjoy backpacking in the same area, and we often swap stories of our adventures. Usually they involve wildlife encounters, getting turned around and temporarily lost, getting soaked due to a freak rainstorm and forgetting another pair of dry socks. Yes, this happened to me. Stuff like that. I've also heard stories from fellow hikers and encountered a few things myself that unsettled me and stuck with me long afterwards. These stories have a way of creeping into my thoughts and haunting me on the rare times I hike alone. I spoke with a good friend recently who told me about a backpacking experience she had a couple of years ago. She's an experienced hiker, and would sometimes go out on weekend trips hiking various sections of trail through the Blue Ridge Mountains. This particular time, she described the weather being clear and cool with not a cloud in the sky. She had been hiking towards a favorite camping spot of hers that she had been to several times before. She had gotten a later start than she meant to for that day, and the sun was starting to set by the time she got within about a mile of the spot. She said suddenly, this heavy fog rolled in out of nowhere. She remembered it being odd, because the weather had been clear a few minutes before that. Her visibility was limited to 25-30 yards ahead of her, but she pressed on knowing that her camping spot was only about a mile further down the trail. The whole time, she felt this sense of dread creeping up on her. Maybe a couple of minutes after this fog rolled in, she noticed what looked like a vague outline of an elk standing in the middle of the trail. Elks aren't uncommon in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but they can be a lot more dangerous than most people realize. Inexperienced hikers, ignorant of the danger elk can pose, have been known to approach them thinking that they're just gentle giants, and have frequently gotten seriously injured or even killed by them as a result. They are no joke. Knowing this, she stopped when she saw it as to keep her distance, and then started backing away slowly. As she did so, to her dismay, it started slowly approaching her. The outline of the beast was still vague, but she could tell that it was bigger than any other elk she had ever seen. as the shape started to materialize out of the fog. She also realized, to her horror, that this thing wasn't an elk. She could make out the shape of the elk-like antlers, and the vague shape of the muzzle and part of the body. But the thing that truly startled her was that the beast was slowly loping towards her on two legs. As soon as she saw this, she turned and ran. Visibility was still limited, and she had to dodge overhanging branches, tree roots, and large rocks as she ran in a blind panic. After about 10 minutes, she told me that the fog started to clear up, and the feeling of dread also faded a little bit along with it. She knew there was no way she could make it back to her car before dark. So she got off the trail and made her way into the woods until she came to a spot which wasn't visible from the trail, and where she felt safe setting up her tent. She described being bunkered down in her tent all night with her knife at the ready, and hearing what sounded like an elk bellowing in the woods. If you've ever heard this, you'd know they can sound pretty unsettling. But she described this bellowing as being deeper and more guttural than a normal elk. At times, it even sounded like the thing was forming what sounded like they could have been words. Sometimes it was closer to her, sometimes further away, and at one point, she thought she heard a second one. The bellowing faded off into the distance as it started getting light outside. She waited until it was bright enough outside to pack up, and then she booked it out of there. She didn't go backpacking in the mountains for a year after that experience, and now only goes with friends. As I mentioned, I've heard some strange stories, but that still ranks among the oddest I've heard, and it still bothers me to this day. There's one that bothers me more, though, because it happened to me. My son is in Boy Scouts, and I'm fairly involved as a leader in his troop. So, most of the time when his troop goes backpacking, I go too. On one of these trips, we had just reached our camping spot after a long day's hike. There was still a good few hours of daylight left. So after everyone had gotten their tents and gear set up, most of the boys took to exploring the area around the campsite. Another hour or so went by, and this thick, heavy fog rolled in. Everything went dead silent. The birds were no longer chirping. The leaves stopped rustling in the wind. Total silence. Even the words we spoke seemed muffled by the fog. Along with that silence, I began to feel weighed down by this really oppressive sense of what I could only describe as offness. It felt completely unnatural. The other leaders and I were concerned some of the boys could get lost or hurt in this fog. So we called them back to the campsite and counted them off to make sure everyone was present and accounted for. The boys are taught to always have at least one buddy with them at all times, so we counted each scout and confirmed their buddy was with them. The last boy that we got to was in some sort of panic. He told us his buddy, a younger scout named Adrian, had wandered off and after the fog rolled in, was nowhere to be seen. Everything kicked into high gear after that. We told the boys to stay at the camp, and two of the adult leaders stayed with them while the rest of us went out looking for that missing boy. We had radios with us so we could communicate if we lost sight of each other. We decided to backpack down the trail we initially came in on, in case Adrian had wandered back that way. and eventually came to a spot where I could make out his outline in the fog. As I approached him, I noticed his back was to me, and he was standing shock still facing the woods. I spoke his name softly, and he seemed startled like he had been in some kind of trance. I asked him what he was looking at, and why he had come back down this part of the trail. He looked up at me with an expression that was a mixture of bewilderment and worry, and told me that, when we had first passed this spot while we were hiking in, he had heard what sounded like soft laughter and voices deep in the woods. He came back to investigate, thinking it must have been coming from another campsite. It made sense, but it didn't explain why he had just been standing there staring. As I pressed him for more answers, he hesitantly told me that shortly after he had started down this trail, the fog had rolled in. He wasn't aware that his buddy wasn't with him. He was more interested in finding out who was in the woods. When he arrived at the spot, he stopped to listen. As he had been standing there trying to see through the fog, he noticed a very tall, he heavily emphasized the word very, pale man peering out from behind a tree at him while also being partially obscured by the fog. As he stood staring, Adrian said he noticed more people scattered around the nearby trees also peering at him. Not saying anything, just peering at him with blank expressions. He said that one or two of them had made slow hand gestures like they wanted him to come over to them, and he had suddenly felt very tired. That was when I had found him and startled him, bringing him out of his trance-like state. I looked around and didn't see or hear anything. No birds, no insects, and definitely no people. There was just us and that heavy, oppressive fog. As I started to glance back down at him, I caught a tiny movement out of the corner of my eye. I looked up and for a brief moment caught a glimpse of one of the people he described. He was staring at us with a blank and hollow expression as he backed further into the fog and melted away. If you've ever been to an open casket funeral, you know how the person you're looking at in the wooden box looks so much different than they did in life. They look more like a wax figure straight out of the Uncanny Valley. That's what the face of that man reminded me of as he was engulfed by the mist. I stood in stunned silence for a moment. As soon as I snapped out of it, we hightailed it back to the camp and I radioed the other leaders to let them know I had found the missing boy. Eventually, the fog lifted, but the disquieting feeling I had felt earlier remained. I still feel that same sense of disquiet whenever I think about the freakishly tall man and his blank, uncanny stare. It's just stories and encounters like that that haunt me when I'm backpacking through the mountains and just like the friend I mentioned earlier, I never go alone anymore.